to increase the transcendental bliss of the cowherd men of Gokula, this child will always act auspiciously for you, and by his grace only you will surpass all difficulties. Please repeat after me so we can enter into the meaning of the verse. To increase the transcendental bliss of the cowherd man of Gokula, this child will always act auspiciously for you, and by his grace only you will surpass all difficulties. Purport. For the cowherd men of the cows and the cows, Krishna is the supreme friend. Therefore, he is worshipped by the prayer Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. His pastimes in Gokula, his dham, are always favorable to the brahmanas and the cows. His first business is to give all comfort to the cows and the brahmanas. In fact, comfort for the brahmanas is secondary, and comfort for the cows is his first concern. Because of his presence, all people would overcome all difficulties and always be situated in transcendental bliss. The verse again. Eshava Sriya Adhasyat Gopa Gokulanandanaha Anena Sarva Durgani Yuyam Agyas Tarishyatha. To increase the transcendental bliss of the cowherd men of Gokula, this child will always act auspiciously for you, and by his grace only you will surpass all difficulties. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Bande Shri Gurun Dinatarinam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschityadeshtarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. First of all, I would like to thank the devotees here at Bhaktivedanta Manor, Bhaktanandan in particular, for inviting me to give class today. I haven't given class for significantly long time. I don't even remember when's the last time I spoke here, for various reasons. Perhaps one of the main reason is that Krishna didn't want it until now. So now it happened. So please give me your blessings that I can say something meaningful. I guess there's also quite a few devotees watching the class online. At least many times I've done that from home. And usually every morning there's about, you'll be surprised, about 100, depending on the speaker, 100 to 150 people listening to the class online. So although here we have about 20 to 25 people, there's another at least 80, 90 people on the line, online. So this big audience here, imaginary. All right. So what's happening here? Krishna has taken his appearance in Mathura, in the prison, and Vasudev has brought Krishna to Vrindavan for his safety, because Vasudev and Devaki, they were very, very concerned about Krishna staying in Mathura, where Kamsa was. Kamsa wanted very, very much to get rid of all the children who were potentially would be the cause of his death. And now, Vasudev, being the father of Krishna, requested the priest of the Yadus, namely Gargamuni, to go to Vrindavan and do an astrological chart of the newborn baby. So Gargamuni came to Vrindavan and he mentioned to Nanda Maharaj that he would like to see the baby and do some ceremonies and calculate his birth chart. And they've agreed that that will happen in the cowshed. Again, for the same reason, it was done with closed doors. Nobody knew. It was kind of very closed affair for the safety of Krishna. Because at that time, Kamsa's soldiers were patrolling around looking for young babies to kill. So, in Vedic culture, it's customary that when a child is born, an astrological reading is done in order to see, to predict what will happen in its life. This is done still by many Hindus. Recently I had someone taking birth in my family, and obviously me and my wife, we were curious to look into what were the auspicious signs, or what is the moment in which the child was born. So like that. Even Prabhupada, when Prabhupada was born, his chart was done, and it was predicted that he would be a great personality. He would become a great preacher, a great devotee of Krishna, and open many, many temples. And this is exactly what happened. So astrology does work. It's actually a science. Many devotees are very, very interested in that science, and they look into it more deep. So here, Gargamuni is describing the activities of the newborn child, and he mentions two things in particular. One is that Krishna will give immense bliss by always acting auspiciously for the residents of Vrindavan. So, at the time of Krishna's appearance, as it always happens, the whole atmosphere of the earth became very auspicious. I would like to read to you a short excerpt from Ananda Vrindavan Champu by Krishna Kavikarnapurna. This is from chapter 2, where he describes the auspicious the auspicious symptoms that were observed in the atmosphere during Lord Krishna's appearance. So the whole atmosphere, this is just part of it, it's a bit longer in the book. the whole atmosphere became as completely purified as the heart of a devotee. The devotees once again found peace and prosperity in worshipping the lotus feet of Lord Hari. Fruits filled the jubilant trees, but the envious demons exhibited various inauspicious signs of degradation, such as rapidly aging bodies and symptoms of imminent death. The desire vines of the celestial denizens seemed to be hanging in the air as if eager to produce fruits. At that time, all the directions became felt as pure, as joyful, as the mind of a devotee who has received the mercy of Lord Hari. Just as gems, mantras, or medicines can remove a poisonous disease from the body of a man, the advent of Lord Krishna relieved the world from the contamination of material existence and the sinful effects of the demons. Happiness gradually replaced the distress in everyone's hearts. Remember, before Krishna appeared, the planet Earth was loaded with so many demons who actually were weighing down on her. So she requested for some help. The bodies of all creatures manifested extraordinary beauty and youthful vitality. Men felt extremely joyful and displayed various qualities. Throughout the world, people behaved cordially and interacted amicably. Happiness twinkled in everyone's eyes. That's interesting. At the end of Dvapara Yuga, which completely destroys faults and doubts, an auspicious, favorable, obstacle-free time appeared on the eighth day of the waning moon in Bhadra month. Just at that sweet moment, the Rohini Nakshatra, along with the good qualities of the moon and an auspicious conjunction of stars called Ayushman, appeared in the sky to give shelter to gentle persons. As the living entity comes out from the womb of his mother, and the moon appears on the lap of the eastern direction, Yogeshwara, Sri Krishna, the personification of complete bliss, appeared amidst great festivities. As the moon appears in the lap of the eastern direction, which is like a beautiful bride, Krishna manifested the wonderful pastime of his appearance out of his love and compassion for the conditioned souls. So, this is a beautiful description from one of the greatest poets, Vaishnava poets. And here it is said that Krishna will give immense bliss to the cowherd man of Gokula. So Krishna is always very eager to give pleasure to his devotees. We chant Hare Krishna, Hare Rama. Hare Rama means exactly that. He's one who gives immense pleasure or bliss to his devotees, to everyone, in fact. So Vrindavan, when Krishna appeared, the residents of Vrindavan was so overjoyed that Krishna has appeared, and all these beautiful, amazing symptoms appeared. The whole land was full of lush greenery, flowers. The trees were overburdened with fruits. All the animals were going hither and thither, completely in joyful state. So it was a very, very auspicious moment. And Vrindavan, of course, is the most auspicious of all places in the whole of the creation anyway. So that's one thing. And secondly, it is said in the verse that by Krishna's grace, the residents of Vrindavan will always be able to surpass all difficulties. So this is amazing because even in Vrindavan, there are difficulties. Vrindavan, of course, is the transcendental dham, abode of the Lord. But there's always difficulties, and those difficulties in particular were meant to increase the devotee's dependence on the Lord's mercy and protection. And they also show that although the devotees in Vrindavan were completely surrendered and completely pure, still Krishna wanted them to experience some difficulties, because our lives, although we become devotees of Krishna, they also have difficulties. Difficulties are not a bad thing. Difficulties are actually a good thing, because they make us strive for Krishna's protection and Krishna's grace. So this is something auspicious. The residents of Vrindavan, although experiencing a lot of difficulties, they were always confident of Krishna's protection. An example of that is the story of the cowherd boys who entered Agasura when they were strolling in the forests of Vrindavan, happily and joyfully being engaged in herding the cows and the calves. And as the boys were walking around in a joyful mood, they noticed a big demon lying down on the road. And despite the fact that they understood what's going on, they completely confidently just entered the mouth. Oh, there's a demon here. Let's see what will happen. And they entered the Agasura's mouth. And of course, Krishna never failed to protect his devotees. In fact, there were so many dangers in Vrindavan that every day Krishna would kill at least one demon. The acharyas explained that Krishna would kill the demons before his lunch, because Krishna wanted to sport a little bit to increase his digestive fire. So every day when Krishna and the cowherd boys would go in the forest of Vrindavan, Krishna, a demon would appear, and Krishna would kill those demons. So like that. And so Krishna here is described, Prabhupada says that Krishna is for the cows, for the cowherd man and the cows, Krishna is the supreme friend. Now, does it mean that he is only the supreme friend for the cowherd man? He is actually the supreme friend for all the residents of Vrindavan and the cows. And what does that mean? Supreme friend is, we may have many friends in our lives. Actually, most people consider that they have many friends. And there are people who have very, very few friends, but are very, who are very close friends, very good friends. So here it is said that Krishna is the supreme friend for all the cowherd men and boys. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita which says that Krishna is Suhridam. Suhridam means that he is, Su means very auspicious or very close to the heart of the devotees. Hrid means heart. In fact, he is so close that he is within everyone's heart. So in everyone's hearts, especially in the residents of Vrindavan, Krishna resides there, and he knows all their innermost desires, and he knows their hearts completely. So that's Krishna. Then Prabhupada says in the purport that Krishna is worshipped because of him being the friend of all the residents of Vrindavan, and especially the cows. He is worshipped by the prayer Namo Brahmanyat Devaya Go Brahmana Hitaya Cha. So Krishna's pastimes in Gokula and his dham are always favorable to the brahmanas and the cows. Well, until now, Prabhupada has been speaking about the residents of Vrindavan, and now he's speaking about the brahmanas. Of course, the cows are there in Vrindavan. I was wondering, why does he talk about the residents of Vrindavan, and then he quotes this verse. I came to the understanding that the residents of Vrindavan, being Vaishnavas, are certainly more than Brahmanas, and they are also Brahmanas, including, in the sense that Brahmanas possess certain qualities. So the residents of Vrindavan, being the topmost devotees of Krishna, are certainly also people or persons who possess brahminical qualities. So Krishna is very, very favorable, extremely favorable to the brahmanas and the cows. That means that he is always thinking of their welfare, and he's always trying to bring to them bliss. He wants to give them pleasure. Imagine the incredible character of Krishna. Those who he loves the most, he likes to make sure that they're always very comfortable, and he always tries to increase their bliss. He wants to see them happy. They're already happy, the happiest persons in the whole of the creation, because they reside with Krishna in Vrindavan. But still, Krishna wants to give them more bliss, so he wants to increase their bliss. That's very wonderful when you think about it. And then Prabhupada says in the purport that Krishna's first business is to give all comfort to the cows and the brahmanas. So Krishna likes to see that the residents of Vrindavan and the cows are feeling always great comfort. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Gornitai Ki Jai. An interesting thing is that Prabhupada then says that, in fact, comfort for the brahmanas is secondary, and comfort for the cows is his first concern. Now, why is it so? I was thinking that shouldn't Krishna be equally concerned for the comfort of his devotees, all devotees in Vrindavan? The answer is yes, definitely. Krishna, being the Supreme Lord, is not partial. He is equally disposed to everyone. But the cows are very special for him, because the cows are he's always first concerned for the comforts of the cows, because the cows are more vulnerable and they're more dependent. And of course, Krishna has a very soft spot in his heart for the cows. In fact, I was thinking yesterday that most of the pictures of the paintings which depict Vrindavan and Krishna in Vrindavan, they show him with cows. Usually he's either embracing a cow, and I have a beautiful picture on my computer. I may show it to you later. Or he is surrounded by cows. From very, very young childhood, Krishna was given the care of firstly of the calves, and then of the cows. In fact, Krishna would interact with the cows from infancy almost. As soon as he would walk, he was crawling around the court of Nanda Maharaj, and the first thing he would do is he would go in the cow shed, and he would go under one of the cows and directly start suckling from the other of the cows. Later on, when he got a little bit older, he would also sometimes catch himself for the tail of the cow, of the calves, and the calves would start running around, and Krishna would start jumping behind the calf, holding for the tail of the cow. So, from the beginning from his birth, Krishna was surrounded by cows, and even this ceremony was taking place in the cow shed. So Vrindavan is a place where Nanda Maharaj was the king, and Nanda Maharaj personally had a huge herd of cows, 900,000. 900,000 cows. That's a huge number. Has any one of you been to Jagannath Puri for a Ratha Yatra? Anyone? Yes, several of you. And do you know there's a big square in Jagannath Puri. It's so huge that at the time of Ratha Yatra festival, it can hold more than 1 million people. Actually, more than 1 million people come for that festival. So that's a huge religious gathering. It's probably the second biggest after Kumbh Mela. And now this There's so many people. I mean, and that square is huge. It's like so wide. It's very wide and it's very long and it goes all the way from the temple of Puri to Gundicha temple. So it's huge, huge square. And 1 million, imagine 1 million people in one place. Here we are 25. How much is 1 million? How many are there? How many 25s are in 1 million? 40,000? Yeah? 40,000. So 40,000 more people than are here. It's a huge number of people. And Nanda Maharaj had 900,000 cows. So imagine the multitude of cows were there in Vrindavan. Cows are bigger than people. So there was a huge number of cows. There were so many cows that whenever Krishna would go to the pasturing grounds, and when he would come back, he would count all his cows to make sure all the cows have come back. And Krishna would have a necklace made of diamonds, 108 beads, 108 beautiful big diamonds. And each diamond would be representing one of the leading cows, because these 900 cows were divided into groups, and each group was headed by one cow. So Krishna, he had such a close relationship with the cows that he would call each cow personally by its name. He would know the name of each cow, and when he would call the name of the cows, they would respond. So like that, cows are the focus of Krishna and the focus of all the residents of Vrindavan. And everything was meant for their comfort and their pleasure. So Krishna stresses very much the importance of protecting cows. And why are cows so important? Cows are such creatures that, first of all, as we mentioned, they're fully dependent on our protection. They're very lovable animals, and they give so much service. They give so much service. What do we get from the cows? Firstly, we get milk. What we can make so many things from milk. We can make yogurt. We could make from the yogurt, we can make butter. The butter then is made into ghee. And the ghee is used in cooking and also in performing sacrifices. So for that reason, cows are also very important. Milk is such a substance that it, when it's drank, it nourishes the finer tissues of our brain, and it allows us to understand higher matters. Prabhupada, do you know what Prabhupada would always eat in the evening? He would always drink milk and with some paratha or popcorn or something else, some snack. But he would always have hot milk in the evening. So milk is very, very important for us. And we're very fortunate here because we have cows. And every evening, the devotees here at the Bhaktivedanta Manor, they drink hot milk straight from the cows here at the Goshala. So cows are very important. And besides milk, the cows also give us cow dung. One devotee arguably states that the cow dung is even more important than the milk. And he argues that most of the cows don't give milk. Even here, we have a herd of how many? 40 cows and oxen. And let's say that half of them are cows. 20 from those 20 cows, probably only half give milk. So we don't get rid of the rest of the cows because they give us cow dung. And cow dung is so important. Cow dung makes the soil fertile. In India, it's used as a fuel. Those of you who've been to India have seen how they make these cow dung patties, and they stick them to the wall the houses, and when they dry, they're stored somewhere, and they're used for cooking. In fact, the best food is the one that's cooked on fire, and from all the food cooked on fire, the best one is cooked on cow dung fire, because cow dung burns very slowly, and the slowest cooking is the makes the tastiest food. So like that. And not only cow dung do we get from the cows, but we also get cow urine, which is also something very auspicious. You know this, when Putana was killed by Krishna, she was the first demon. It is said that one of the first demons that Krishna killed, it is said that Mother Yashoda and the cowherd ladies, they were very much concerned about the safety of the child, and because they were so worried about Krishna, they started chanting protective mantras. They were actually applying the different mantras on Krishna's body, just like we do with the tilak. Every morning when we put on tilak, we chant protective mantras. These are the names of Krishna. So they chanted the names of Vishnu for Krishna's protection, and they smeared the body of Krishna with cow urine and cow dung for protection. So this shows you how purifying the cow and everything that comes from the cow. And the cow gives a service when, even after she dies. You know, when the cow dies, her skin can be used to make mridangas. So it's amazing how much service we get from the cows. And the most important thing, significance of cows, is that cows are so dear to Krishna. He loves everyone. He's equally disposed to all living entities, but he has a very, very soft spot in his heart for cows. And that's why he decides to perform his pastimes in Vrindavan, in a village. He's not so keen on being in a big, opulent city. He likes to stroll in the forests of Vrindavan with his cowherd boyfriends, herding the cows. So when cows are protected, Krishna is very, very pleased. And the basis of human civilization should be centered around cow protection. Actually, when cows are properly protected, the whole human society prospers for the simple reason that Krishna is very pleased by that. When Prabhupada was in his final days In Vrindavan, he said that only 50% of his mission was accomplished. And when devotees asked him, what are the remaining 50%, he said, establishing Varnashram Dharma. And the focus of Varnashram Dharma is cow protection. Still in India, when we go, we can see there's so many cows. But unfortunately, in many cases, they're not properly looked after. And we see in the West what is the result of exploiting cows. The whole human civilization is going to hell especially because there's so many cows being slaughtered mercilessly. And Śrīla Prabhupāda, when he would talk with, especially with big Christian priests and like that, he would always bring this point about cow killing cows, because the churches, they maintain slaughterhouses. So when the cows are protected, there's all opulence and all auspiciousness, and when the cows are not properly protected, when they're exploited, then they're given, then the result is that the whole world is going to ruination. Actually, Prabhupada said that the reason for all the wars is the merciless killing of animals, especially cows. And even if you look, the environment is being destroyed completely just by that exploitation of cows. So we understand here that the first concern of Krishna is to protect the cows. And we, as devotees, also have to understand that this is very important for us, to protect the cows and offer the cows all kinds of comforts. After reading this verse, I realized that I don't necessarily do sufficiently for cow protection personally, on a personal level. And I would like to do something. Actually, in the future, I would like to have my own cows. It's wonderful to. There's a wonderful couple of devotees who have a farm in Mexico, and they have a website, and they post. Every now and then they post different videos of their place, and they have purchased two beautiful zebu cows. You know, India, Indian cows are very special, and of all the cows, the zebu cows are the most special breed. Actually, the Ayurvedic medicines that work properly, which have cow in them, cow ghee, they should be from these cows because they have medicinal properties. The cows in the West may not have the same qualities. And although those cows, they don't give much milk, still, they're so precious. They're so precious. So yesterday even I saw one wonderful clip where the devotee was spreading the cow dung. Even if they don't give any milk, just the fact that they give cow dung, it gives so much fertility to the soil. It becomes very fertile. So we have to understand that Krishna is very, very fond of cows. And if we want to please Krishna, we have to try and give pleasure to the cows, just as he does. So I will finish here. I've gone a little bit over time. If anyone has any question or comment,